Dear brothers and sisters, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. All right, so this is the third time this weekend that I've heard this text. I've been reading it all week long, and I'm still going to confess that when I hear these words of Jesus, I definitely still, just now, broke out into a little bit of a sweat. Felt a little bit nervous. Jesus reminds us in this gospel of the gift of the Ten Commandments, those tremendous laws and commands that were given to Moses at Mount Sinai 3,400 years ago because God's people were not following the rules. God had given the people all these tremendous rules to follow about how to live a good and clean and wholesome and religious and godly life, and God's people just kept on failing and failing and failing and failing and failing and failing some more. So then God is generous and kind enough to say to Moses, "Come here, come to the mountain. Here it is, 10 simple rules that you just have to follow. Everything else will be really, really wonderful, but get these 10 down. Oh my goodness, it'll be so wonderful." So Moses takes these 10 commandments down from the mountaintop, written in stone to us, the people. Here we are. All we have to do is follow these 10, and the world will be so much better. We will be so much better. God will be so happy with us. And we failed again and again and again and again and again. To the point where Jesus, God's self, decides, "Here I am," to come to earth to remind the people again. We've had prophets and prophets and prophets to remind us of the commands, to remind us of God's word and God's will. And yet God finally has to come down to earth, God's self, in the flesh, born of a baby, to lead us, to remind us, to physically show us of the rules that we are to follow. And so Jesus comes and makes us a little uncomfortable in this little piece of scripture that we hear as he reminds the people of some of the commands that God gave to us. I remember when I was a kid learning about the Ten Commandments and thinking it seemed so natural. It seemed so simple. Of course, I would never want to kill anyone. I would never want to hurt anyone. Sometimes I might be jealous of some of the things that my friends had, but I would never want to lust after something that someone else had to the point where it would hurt myself or another. Do not lie. Don't swear falsely. Of course, I would never do that. Oh my goodness. But as an adult, some of these things are a lot harder to really and fully follow than they seemed to me as a child. Confession time, one of the things that I struggle with the most is lying. I am not a good liar, let me say that right up front. My children will tell you, if you ever want to know something with 100% certainty and honesty, I am the person to go to because I simply cannot lie fully. It is in my genes, it is in my DNA. If someone asks me a question, you are going to get an honest answer. My kids and family and friends sometimes use this to my own detriment because if they want to know something, they know all they have to do is ask and look into my eyes and they're going to know exactly how it goes. "Hey mom, did you remember to pick up X, Y, and Z from the store on your way home?" "Oh my gosh, yes, of course I did. Silly me. I just left it in the car. I'll be right back in 20 minutes to go get it because, oh, I have to dig around for where I might have left it in the car because I really have to go across the street to the Buy Right or the Dollar Tree or the CVS to actually get the thing that I forgot." But in the meantime, in answering their question, I've giggled so much through it and my face has turned red and I've started to have hot flashes that they know, "Oh, nice try, Mom, but you forgot." And they try the same thing for birthdays and Christmases. "Mom, what'd you get us this year?" "Nothing." "You're not getting anything this year." "Where did you hide it, Mom?" "Nowhere. You're not getting anything. Don't look at me anymore." I just cannot lie. But I do tend to stretch the truth sometimes. My kids will tell you this. My students upstairs will tell you this as well. For my students, on days when they're being particularly wild and rambunctious, if you do not sit down and be quiet and pay attention to me, you are going to go to the principal's office now and you will have indoor detention, no recess for a whole entire week. Well, now, I don't actually have the authority to do that just because they're talking out loud in my class. However, I feel like I just need some of these threats sometimes, these exaggerations of the truth, in order to get my point across. And it's in doing some of these exaggerations of the truth and rereading some of these scriptures, as in this one that Jesus is reminding us of, that I come to realize that, yes, indeed, even though I feel like I cannot actually lie, these exaggerations of the truth are not entirely honest, and so, indeed, are going against the commands of God. And so I remember again how imperfect I am, even as one of God's beloved children. It's stories like this, where Jesus reminds us of the Ten Commandments, that we are reminded not just to be ashamed that we are so imperfect, but to be lifted up and to be reminded of God's promise that God knew we weren't going to be able to be perfect. God wants us to do the best that we can, but God knew that we were going to continue falling and failing, which is why God came to us. God came to us as Jesus, that baby, so that we could be led in the right way. God grew up in the flesh, walking among us to reach out to the outcasts and to dine with the sinners and to call people away from their previous occupations to bring people closer to the God of love. And he did that because he loves us imperfect human beings. And when we still continued not to get it right, these commands of God, Jesus went to the cross to die for us because we are imperfect and because he loves us so. And God went and dined with the 12, one who would betray him and one who would deny him, and broke the bread because of us and for us. And blessed the cup and said to us, our sin is all forgiven. And that same God, after dying on that cross, after breaking the bread, then rose into heaven to open those gates for every single one of us, beautiful, beloved, and imperfect people. We cannot be perfect, but what we are is beloved and forgiven and granted mercy and hope and a new chance tomorrow. I took my kids, Andrew and Joanne, to go see Wicked at the Hippodrome this past week. And let me tell you, it was so fantastic. So fantastic. If you haven't seen it yet, I recommend it. If you don't know anything about it, I will give you a little bit of the background and try not to give away too many spoilers in it. It is about these two witches from The Wizard of Oz, a story that many of us know, as they are young and going to school and learning what it's going to take for them to grow up and to be these great wizards and witches themselves and to lead the people. But the two main characters are complete and total opposites. There is the good and beautiful and seemingly perfect one who is just surrounded, dressed to the nines, hair done perfectly, so popular, lots of friends, everybody just adores her. And then there is the other one who's more plain and simple and says it like it is, and no one really likes her because of all of this, including the fact that her skin color actually is green, and so people are sort of terrified and frightened of her just because of that. Well, these two main characters end up becoming roommates at their school, and they just decide from the get-go that they have nothing in common, and so they are going to be adversaries, one against another. They will not like a single thing about the other person. They go on and on and on, and they feud with one another, and they try to turn their backs on one another. But eventually, as the story progresses, the two of them realize that what they really need is not to be against each other because they are so different, but they need to work together because they are so different. They each have tremendous gifts that they share with the other one to build the other one up. Not to make one another like the other person, but because through their growth and through their sharing of their gifts, they build up the other person. And it turns into this really beautiful story of incredible friendship and strength and working together, even as seemingly total opposites, because they learn how to be open to the other person, and they learn how to be reconciled and to see the gifts that each other has, and they even end up confessing to the other one that although they are so different, they have each changed one another for the better. Not that they have been changed into the other person, but that they have seen the beautiful and tremendous gifts that the other person has. It's a hard story, but it's a story that so many of us hear time and time again. It is our story. It is a story of being imperfect. It is a story of sometimes putting ourselves so far up onto a pedestal that we are afraid to fall. And sometimes it is a story of us being so unsure of ourselves or so down on ourselves that we think that we just cannot rise up to be any better. But Jesus calls out to us in these words, reminding us of the Ten Commandments, reminding us that for thousands of years, we have not been getting it right. And the promise that God gives to us through Jesus Christ is that even though we are imperfect, we are forgiven and we are beloved in the eyes of God. And we are given a new day and a second chance to be reconciled with one another, to be reconciled with the world around us, to be reconciled to God through the love that comes to each of us, beloved and imperfect people. That gift, that promise is for each and every one of us. It is a promise that was spoken to little Chad this morning, that in those waters of baptism and as that candle was lit and was handed to the family, and the words were said, "Let your light so shine before others." The promise in that is not that Chad will be perfect every day. You've probably experienced that already. But the beauty is that in his imperfections, just as in each and every one of our imperfections, is the unending love of God, the forgiveness that comes every single day, a new chance that comes to him and to all of us every single day, to try harder, to be a work in progress, to let our lights shine with the love of God, to be reconciled however and whenever we can, knowing that we will fail and we will fall, yes, but that the promise comes to us every single time of God's love through Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, be imperfect and keep on trying harder and harder every single day. Let your light so shine in the darkness of this world, and keep on rejoicing and giving thanks to God through Jesus our Savior. Amen.